That was always the key driver. It was like, how do I become the best at this? How do I become the best at this? And yeah, I would travel up and down then, like I said, probably losing out on money traveling up and down, but I just loved it so much.
You started from the love of something. You started from the love of getting better. You started from the love of helping people.
Yeah.
You didn't start from a place of, oh, I'm going to get big on Instagram and then I'm going to have a brand.
Yeah.
It takes courage and belief in yourself and your business idea to take the step to set up your own business. In the early stages, entrepreneurship can be a lonely road, even through those milestone moments. Deciding to commit to the idea you've been mulling over, learning, growing, and developing your skills, building a team to help you along the way, preparing to launch into new markets. Enterprise Ireland is there for all of those startup moments. From providing advice and guidance to new founders through our startup network, to pre-seed funding and early investment, we're here to help bring your ambition to fruition. To find out how Enterprise Ireland can help you on your startup journey, visit enterprise-ireland.com. Nostra, an Irish IT company, offers world-class managed IT services, cloud solutions, IT support, and more, all tailored to meet your business needs. Whether you're streamlining operations or boosting productivity, their expert team is ready to help. Visit nostra.ie or email info@nostra.ie to see how they can solve your IT challenges today. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to share a game changer for your business, Azure Communications. When it comes to print and marketing solutions, these folks, led by CEO Jenny Johnston, are the real deal. Whether you need an eye-catching brochure, sleek business cards, or a full-blown digital campaign, Azure Communications has you covered. They're not just about high-quality prints or digital campaigns, they're also about delivering great results. And here's the best part. Just for listeners of The Entrepreneur Experiment, you can get 20% off your first order. Just give them a call or go online and use the code VOX20. With personalized service and fast turnaround times, Azure Communications will help you make the impact your business deserves. Trust me, when it comes to making your brand stand out, Azure Communications is the provider of choice. Check them out at azurecom.ie. Use code VOX20. Elevate your marketing game today.
Kaylee, welcome to the pod.
Thanks so much for having me.
I was telling you about my simple tech setup. Yeah. The green button goes red, we're live.
Yeah, it's always the biggest fear. Did I press that button? Are we recording?
I've done it. It's happened to me. It happened to me recently. I did an hour long podcast. It was on my own. Didn't have Ben with me, so that's why it all went wrong.
No.
Doing it on my own, sat down, and it was hard. It was an ask me anything.
Yeah.
So it was like people had sent in questions. I was like, I'll sit down, I'll blitz through them now. I'd started twice, didn't work twice. And on the third time, got through it, did the hour. Went over, the camera had stopped after 27 minutes.
No.
So I just, it was that bad. I had to just walk out of the room.
Yeah.
And just go, we'll come back to that later.
I need to decompress right now. Yeah.
Such a rage. Because you're just like, it's gone.
Yeah. It's, and that's organic content too. So you were trying to be so organic and answer it on the spot.
You see, you get it. Yeah. Ask me anything.
Yeah. And now you ask me anything again.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great. Great to stand with you.
Yeah, you too.
What's been going on?
An awful lot. An awful lot. I think that's everything in business, right? When does it ever stop? You're constantly going, constantly looking for the next thing. We have been very busy, and is it great to be busy?
What are you busy at, for anyone that doesn't know?
I have my own makeup brand, Cash Beauty. So busy trying to take over the world at the minute. We're almost 5 years in business now. So we're at a point now where we're growing very quickly, trying to keep up with that, trying to hire people as well, keep the team growing and building as much as we can.
I love the name.
Cash.
Strong.
It's cute, right?
Strong.
It's actually my name. So Kaylee.
Oh,
you got it?
I got what you did there.
You got it.
I got what
my
you
name,
did there.
People can't pronounce my name. So I was like, there's no way I can have that involved in the name of the brand, because I could call it everything. Bar Kaylee, Kaleidaha, Kalige, Kelda, everything.
And as you get bigger and go to different markets, it'll be more difficult. But
exactly.
Cash, it just works.
Yeah.
It just, I like it.
It's bam, right?
So bring me back to the start, because you've had a long journey. Like most overnight successes, you've had like 10 years of hard graft. How to start?
So it started, it's almost 10 years ago now. So I always had a love for anything creative. So I think even growing up, I was always drawn all over the walls in my house. My mother broke my mother's heart. But I always just had a big love for anything that creative, and I always said that no matter what I was doing, as long as it was creative, that I would get so much from that. So even within school, I didn't really have an interest in a lot of stuff. I was kind of one of those annoying people that I would do well without having to do too much, almost. But the one thing that I wanted to do really well in was my art. So I think I started getting a love for makeup. I decided that's what I wanted to do in college. I'd done a 1 year course and then straight away got working into the industry. And I feel like that's where I really learned all my makeup knowledge, was obviously working on different types of skin tones, different people, ages, genders, everything. I feel like that's really where I learned everything that I kind of know today. And from there then, Instagram and the online world started happening. It wasn't a thing at all back then. Like, influencers, that wasn't a name that people were using, content creators, that it didn't exist as such. So I didn't know that this could be a job. And I guess I started posting my makeup looks online just because I love doing it. I love sharing it. My whole thing was I wanted to become the best makeup artist I could be. So every day before I traveled to work or whatnot, I would sit down for an extra 2-3 hours to do a creative makeup look to become better. And then I would post that at the end of the day. And I guess I started growing a following from that. I was kind of doing something a little bit different at the time. Not many people were changing themselves into different creatures every day. And I was, you know, posting my little makeup tips and tricks as well. And I guess people started following me through there. And then from that, it allowed me to work with all different types of makeup brands all across the world, kind of different people as well. I've got to work with some amazing creators and all different types of people as well. And yeah, the natural progression then from that was to start my own makeup brand.
I love that though. And it kind of speaks to what we talked about earlier, is that a lot of people are trying to retroactively fit that now. They're trying to be a creator.
Yeah.
But without the talent or the actual skill behind it. They're just trying to be famous for being a creator.
It's because they can see now what can happen.
Yeah.
You can see how people can build an online platform and how they can build a life for themselves through that. That's a really big thing. But I didn't have that back then. What really just spurred me on was I just love makeup. That's it. That was the key thing. I was like, this is what I'm really passionate about. I'm going to make something out of this. I didn't know what I was going to be. Like, when I first started makeup, I thought I was going to be doing makeup on movie sets, you know, or I thought I was going to have clients every weekend. Like, that's what I had thought in my brain. Like, I think all makeup artists want to have their own makeup brand. They always kind of look at products and think, oh, I'd love to have this, or, you know, I changed this about that. So I always wanted to have my own makeup brand, but I just didn't think it would happen this early on. And yeah, I guess people can see that now from, say, like the likes of me, who started as a creator. Just a little girl posting her makeup looks on Instagram now has her own makeup brand, you know?
But people forget how you started. You started from the love of something. You started from the love of getting better. You started from the love of helping people.
Yeah.
You didn't start from a place of, oh, I'm going to get big on Instagram and then I'm going to have a brand.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost spun round now, whereas in reality, and we talked about this earlier, is that like the tide seems to be going out a wee bit on people who are famous for being famous, whereas it's people like you who've built a strong personal brand. Mm-hmm. Personal branding is one of the things I am the most bullish about over the next 5 years, because I think with the rise of AI, there's just going to be brands 100%. Everywhere.
Yeah.
There's going to be beauty brands, all these different brands, sportswear brands, nutrition brands, food brands. They're just going to pop up everywhere because you can create them in seconds. Like,
yeah, it's the people in it though. And I always say this, I always get people asking me, you know, how do I get more followers, or how do I do this, or how do I do that? And I always say, you can get inspiration from other people. That's fine if there's people that you love to watch or you love what they're doing. But at the end of the day, it's what makes you different and what is that thing and that passion that really drives you on. I think for anyone starting a business, you have to have the thing that you love, because it's going to take all your time, all your energy, everything. And it needs to be something that you are so obsessed with that you don't mind giving all your time to.
But also the personal story, your story. Like, you are a founder-led brand. I would consider you a founder-led brand. Mm-hmm. Like, people buy into you.
Yeah.
And then as a result, the brand. Mm-hmm. I think that's the secret sauce for the next couple of years. Yeah. And if you look at any of the brands who are really, really going well now, there's a real focal founder behind them.
It's personal.
Because people care about people.
Yeah.
People don't really care about brands. They care about what the brand can do for them in terms of changing their look or making them fitter. But for founders, they buy into you.
100%.
They're like, oh, I love her story. I remember when she was back doing tutorials before she got to work. I remember. And, you know, people follow you along those parasocial relationships of like, I remember when she used to work here and now she's got her own thing. Class.
I get that all the time.
But how cool is that?
Yeah, though? I'm actually, because I'm doing a makeup tour at the minute, and I hadn't I've basically toured around Ireland doing different masterclasses, and done that since well before COVID. And the people that I'm meeting at these are people that have been following me for the past 10 years. And they're like, I've been following you since you've done this makeup look. I'm like, how do you even remember that?
Yeah.
But that's really like, it's, this is the thing that was, what I know people say Irish people can be kind of begrudging at times. But when Irish people get behind somebody, they're absolutely like, and I've been so blessed to have experienced that. Like when people, they love shopping Irish, they love actually getting behind somebody. Like I said, I'm just a little girl from the back arse of nowhere in Monaghan, and I've built this life for myself, but through the support of my followers and people who've really built me up and wanted me to do well and have joined me on that journey.
Yeah. And the journey is the thing. The 10-year journey is the thing. Like there's no quick fixes. There's no quick followings. It's built over time through sweat 100%. And tears.
Yeah.
So go back then to when you were starting, you were working.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you working? What were you doing?
I was working as a makeup artist for a makeup brand on counter. So again, I was getting up every single day. I'd have to travel from Monaghan to Dublin. I was probably losing out on money, spending all my money.
You were commuting up and down?
Commuting up and down the bus every day, yeah.
On the bus as well, a big commute.
But I don't remember looking back at that and being like, oh God, I have to go do this. Or, oh God, like I have to get up. I'd never... Now, if I had to do it, I'd probably be like that. But I never thought of it back then. I was just so excited.
Because you loved it.
I loved it so much. I love getting to meet different people. I would go back doing that, no problem. Like working on different people's faces and whatnot. I loved it so much. I'd get up extra early. Everyone thought I was mad when I'd come into work because they'd come in with their natural makeup on and I'd be coming in with a big, massive cut crease or a huge eye makeup. Because I wanted to get up early. I wanted to work on my makeup and become better at it.
Yeah.
That was always the key driver. It was like, how do I become the best at this? How do I become the best at this? And yeah, I would travel up and down then. Like I said, probably losing out on money traveling up and down. But I just loved it so much. And again, I kind of put all my experience in the makeup world down to that now, is putting in those hours working on counter.
How long did you do that for?
I think I done that for 3 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, and then, like I said, along that time, while I was working on counter, I was posting my makeup look. So that's how I was organically kind of growing online. And then I realized, oh, I really like doing this. Like I like even the whole aspect of taking photos and editing videos. Like again, that kind of leans into the creative aspect. I love sitting down and coming up with an idea and then making it happen from start to finish. Like I get excited to think about the idea and how can I make this as cool as possible, do you know?
I really scratched that kind of creative itch for you, and you're like, oh, I could do this and that and the other. And that also speaks to, like, you have to know the nuts and bolts.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know if you're going to build something, if you're going to be in it, be in it.
Mm-hmm.
I interviewed Padraig O'Kadig, who started an airline. He started Air Arran back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I got to meet him for coffee yesterday. He was such a gentleman, such a great
guy. From airplanes to makeup.
Yeah, it's a random life I live, and I bloody love it.
Yeah.
But he said something really... that stuck with me. Mm-hmm. He used to get up super early. He'd get up at like 4. He'd be at the airport for 4:30. He'd fly to Dublin every day from Galway.
Wow.
He'd be in his office in Dublin at like, I think he said 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why did you do that? He goes, Gary, you have to smell the fuel.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what do you mean? He goes, you got to smell the aviation fuel. You got to be in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Such a great example, but such a kind of visceral example as well. I was like, oh, I kind of get it. You got to be around it. And same for you, right?
You got to get your hands dirty.
You got to get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
That's the way.
So true. And I think it goes for everything in life, right? I know people say you can go off to college and you can do this, that and the other, but it's actually the work experience that really builds you up. You know, from me working on counter now and then building up an audience online, I now know kind of what my customers want now. I have a direct line of contact with them. I also know from all my makeup knowledge, like what's going to work on certain people. And if we're coming out with this product, how do I, you know, make it my own and also make it better than what's out there on the market?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing that entrepreneurs fall into. That's the trap, is that they make it for themselves. They don't make it for the 5,000 people that they've worked on, who's like, well, that actually won't work for there, that won't work for that.
Yeah.
You don't know what you don't know.
And that's really interesting, actually, because as a makeup artist, I feel like sometimes if people know me before they know the brand, they think I'm creating products just for makeup artists. And I'm like, no.
Oh, yeah.
I am a woman as well who just wants to throw on my makeup and have it really easy and, you know, run out the door. Yes, I'm a makeup artist, but I want to create products that work for makeup artists. But the everyday person is who I'm most concerned about, you know, and creating products for them. And I think it's so interesting, obviously, from starting a brand, my mind has been opened up so much to obviously the back end and creating the actual products and kind of seeing what other brands have been doing and stuff like that as well. It's so interesting to see the whole behind the scenes of that.
How did you make your first couple of quid then online? What was kind of the moment you're like, people are actually going to pay me to do this?
Yeah. Okay.
That so I love.
I was working on counter and then I decided to leave and I wanted to set up and do makeup on other people. That's what I wanted to do, have clients every weekend. I bought the chair, I bought the whole setup. As soon as I left the brand, I had other brands messaging me straight away and offering me money to talk about. And these are brands that I loved. So brands that I would organically speak about already. I was like, oh my goodness. Okay, I need to create this content then for them, or let me try to do this instead. I didn't even get a chance to do the makeup clients.
Really? You were going to set up your own studio, were you?
I was going to, no, just a little studio, say, in my hometown and start doing clients like that. But the online just grabbed me.
Wow.
Straight away. And
so you put up that, oh, hey, I'm going to leave. I'm going to set up my own thing.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh.
Brands straight away. Yeah. And that was a very, again, a different world because influencing wasn't really a big thing for me then. So I was really getting thrown into the deep end as such, I suppose, there. Obviously, I had a big following. So there could be people who are wanting to take advantage of that or brands who are, you know, wanting to do this, that and the other. And I really didn't know what I was doing. So that was probably the biggest thing I learned about the influencing industry in general is just how important it is to have people that you can trust around you. Mm. And that's where I met my business partners then as well. They're my managers. So essentially, the whole thing was I didn't want to just work with anybody and get money from that. Obviously, my integrity and people's trust in me is the biggest thing. So how can I work with brands that make sense for me, that I talk about organically, but still be able to get paid then and build like long-term partnerships as opposed to just like a quick ad here and there?
How did you figure that out? Because that seems to be one of the biggest minefields, that little crunch point between I only want to work with things that are really, really good and like represent me and making a living. How did you figure that out? How did you kind of get to that line and find it?
I've always been like that. I think it's my gut feeling. I always try to trust my gut. Of course, there's if things don't go the way you want or you work with a brand that end up not maybe fitting you properly or whatever, you learn from that. So I always kind of think of that as well. But I think just first and foremost, what I always said was that I just wanted to make sure I was true to myself. Always. Like no matter what, it doesn't matter what money you put in front of me. Mm. It's like it has to be something that I genuinely love.
And how did you figure it out then? How did you kind of go from having a normal job, getting up every day, doing this to like, okay, it's Monday morning. What do I do now?
Yeah, it's a big change. Yeah. So it is. And you have to be so disciplined within that. Again, I think it's because I loved what I was doing so much. I was genuinely excited. Okay, what's the next trend that's happening? How can I hop on this? How can I make it my own version, basically? That's what I love about the makeup world in general. And then online, it's so fast paced. It's always changing. There's always something new that you can learn. So I didn't have time to sit back and do nothing. I had to get up and make sure that I was on it and doing whatever I had to do that day to keep myself consistent online. That was a really big thing for me. So again, finding a big trend, how can I hop on it, but make it my own? And again, I think it was just that drive. Once I could see that I could build this life for myself, even though I didn't necessarily know what the end goal was at that stage, I was hooked almost on creating the content and having people's reactions and then seeing people creating their own versions of the look, or people messaging me saying, this tutorial helped me to do my makeup today. Do you know, or I use this product now that you have and this has changed the makeup game for you. I was hooked on that. I love that. And that's what like really spurred me on, I suppose.
Okay. And so brands would come to you and go, Kelly, we want to do like this partnership with you.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to pay you.
Yeah.
And then you go off and create content for them. How did all that work? I think a lot of people see these things online. They're like, talk about brand partnerships, hashtag ad. People don't really understand how they work, I think. So let's break that down.
Okay. So a lot of the time, how I would work anyways, and I think this is really important as well, it's kind of touched on in any sort of business, but I think especially in the creative world, you're going to be doing stuff where there might not be like a financial transaction at first, but you're kind of building up your relationship with a brand. So say, for example, if there was a brand I really wanted to work with that I use organically, I don't know, maybe if it's shoes or something like that, and I'm like, I love these shoes, let me post some content about these shoes. The brands, and we're after getting so much interest in these shoes. What's happening? Oh, this little girl over here, she's been speaking about it, or this content creator.
We're getting really hot in Monaghan. Can someone figure out where that is and what's going on?
But yeah, from you, me posting about them organically, then they could turn around and be like, okay, we've seen you posted about this. People really reacted really well to it. Clearly it's something that's like organic with you. So how can we build on this relationship? We have a new product launch coming out. Have a look at this. What do you think of this? What type of content would you like to create? It's different for every brand. Sometimes brands can be very rigid and be like, okay, this is exactly what we want you to say. Go do this. I always want to put my own spin on it. Of course, it has to make sense for you and your your brand. I think that's maybe some things that the negative views people have on influencers, maybe as influencers who don't put their own spin, or kind of feels like a quick...
Well, it's a script and you can feel it.
Yeah.
Because you've heard it five times from five other people that day on your feed, because the feed is so smart now, it'll start to like...
100%. So that's how it works in terms of that. And yeah, it's different brands are different, but like I personally love working when it's easy. If I find it difficult, then it's like, this doesn't make sense for me.
Right.
It needs to be a brand that I use organically or I can talk about easily. I know what to say about them and it feels natural. And it's something that I would talk about organically. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Do you remember how many followers you had when you were like, oh, now's the time to go?
Oh my God. I think I could have had under 100,000 possibly around that stage on Instagram. So Instagram and YouTube was the big thing then. TikTok didn't happen.
And what
COVID.
Was the moment? Because this is always the bit I love asking people. It's like, what was the moment you knew you wanted to do it for yourself? Was there a moment, or was this always something in you?
Again, I think I was just so driven by makeup. I'm not naturally a very business person. Like, I didn't do business in school. It was more so the creative, and that's what kind of spurred me on. And I guess when I realized I could make a life for myself doing the thing that I loved so much and be able to create a business off that, I could see all these brands, you know, making money for me essentially, talking about it. I'm like, well, why don't I do that for myself? Why don't I really build a legacy here for me that I can create a great life for myself and for my family? And that's, I think, the aha moment. I was like, wait a minute, I've been doing this. What's next for me now? Yeah. Do you know, what's the natural progression? And it was for me to, start.
There's a beautiful evolution to your story, like from starting out on the counter to then doing your own thing with the brands, then working your way through and gonna learning. Like, you really, you've paid your dues.
Yeah.
You've kind of gone through each step. Mm-hmm. And I love your point there about, like, it's the work experience.
Yeah.
I think that's so important. Doesn't matter what you want to do. Really doesn't, like... I do a lot of work with students, and I was down in UL last week and they do this amazing new program, ISC program, for people who want to work in computer studies.
Okay.
And it's half and half. So come in and learn, they go out and work. Come in and learn, go out and work. Come in and learn.
So important.
It's just 50-50 split. It's just, that's the future of education. I think no matter 100%. What you're studying, I don't care what you're studying, that should be the model.
Yeah.
That 50-50 split, because nowadays in the world, like, imagine you go into college now for 4 years.
Yeah.
You come out in 4 years. What you've learned in year one is now redundant because the world's moving so fast. And you, it's those skills. It's those, like, those hours you've spent communicating with people.
Yeah. And this is the thing, is I don't think you need to have it all figured out as well. And that's what I kind of say to anyone who is looking to start a business too. It's like, if I had waited for everything to be perfect or for me to know absolutely everything, I never would have started. I think you just have to kind of get stuck in, know what your passion is and know what you really enjoy and what you love. But obviously you have to put in the work as well, but you don't need to know everything. When we first started, Cash, we had no experience whatsoever. Do you know, I had this passion, I had this dream that I wanted to do, and I was going to put everything into it and make sure that the quality is absolutely perfect. But you learn as you go. You really, really do. We had no one working for us at the time. It was just literally just the three of us, like any startup business. I think it's interesting too, because I feel like people might have the perception of me because I'm an influencer or content creator that's a little bit different for me. But anyone who starts up a business, you have to get stuck into the nitty gritty little bits and pieces. I was out varnishing PR boxes. Do I look like someone who should be varnishing anything? Absolutely not.
It's creative, Kelly.
Yeah, creative. It's true. But you just kind of need to get stuck into those things. So whenever I first started, obviously my main point and knowledge was obviously makeup. And then I learned so much about the business, obviously, from just doing it. But I really leaned on my business partner for, like, more so the logistics side of things. And I was really focusing on the makeup. But as an influencer then as well, of course, it gives you a leg up maybe on certain, I don't know, situations. Obviously, I had an audience there already that were ready to kind of buy my products, but it also comes with a lot of pressure as well, as in I need to get this right first, like straight off the bat, because I've got all these eyes on me and people already have a perception of influencer brands. So like I need to come in swinging. And it's very funny because we were actually talking about this the other day. When we first brought in our first shipment, So we, the products get inspected over in the lab. We have a team over there that inspects them as well for us, which is unheard of. And then whenever the first shipment came in, we actually inspected that ourselves then as well. We were wearing hairnets, gloves, lab coats, everything. We inspected every single one of our first products before they went out because I was not having anybody be unimpressed or not obsessed with what they were after purchasing. That kind of perfectionism and okay, this is my first impression I'm getting, people are having into my brand, it needs to be absolutely perfect.
You made so many really good points there.
Yeah.
My bugbear is, and the thing I say to people all the time is that get going.
Yeah.
Get good later. Because you don't know. It won't look like you think it will.
No, you learn as you go, 100%. And
that's the whole
point.
You don't
know.
No. You don't know what people are going to want.
No.
And if you kind of wait, I'll wait now until this and I'll wait, you'll be forever and a day waiting.
100%.
You'll spend your life waiting for the moment when it's perfect. There's no perfect.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't happen. And you missed such a cool point there. I think it's very important to kind of reemphasize it there. People kind of look at you and go, oh, yeah. Easy for Katie, though. She had like 100,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about the pressure that brings and the need to get it right first time, because people will judge you.
At a point
and
of
they
proof.
Will try tear you down. Oh, who does she think she is? 100,000, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So like, there's no easy way.
No.
Like we chatted earlier over coffee about like, people look at other people and say, oh, it's easy for them because, or, you know, oh, they'll do it because they've got money or blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. The Kardashians, things like that.
Yeah, they're the biggest example
There's
I can think
no
of.
There's no guarantee it will work, ever.
No, 100%. That's the thing, like using the Kardashians as an example. They've got all the money in the world, all the resources in the world. They've done so many brands now at this stage, and it's just now that Kim has Skims that's kind of really sickened. Do you know? So it just goes to show that you can have all of that, but it doesn't necessarily mean the business is going to work. Of course, there's things that are going to benefit and make certain situations easier, 100%, but it's not going to guarantee success in the long term.
Mm. When did you decide to launch Cash? When were you like, right, we need to move away from this model into this other model? Because that's hard too, because you're probably doing really well.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, here I am now, I've developed this thing. It's how do you leave the good for the great?
I think I was kind of looking at my life as well and being like, okay, well, what's the next step here? Like I was saying, I'm always kind of chasing something else. I'm like, okay, I've done this now for a few years. What's the next thing that's going to really excite me? I love learning new things and kind of excelling in those kind of stuff. So I was like, what's the next thing I can do? I really got a hunger for creating products. And I loved that. That kind of lit a fire in my belly. I loved how it made me feel seeing people using my own products. And I was like, okay, how can I do this for myself? I'm making all, like I said, all this money for these brands. How can
So you were doing collaborations where you were developing products with brands.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So
okay.
I've done that, and that kind of, like I said, lit a fire on my belly. I actually worked with one of the biggest brands in the world at the time, Morphe. I'm like, how did they find me? It was from me posting organically about them online all the time. Then they reached out to me and they were like, we'd love to have you as the face of one of our palettes. I was on billboards across America and stores across America. It's madness. Madness.
That's cool. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. So again, like I said, I was kind of organically mentioning this brand online. I was posting about them every single day. Again, no financial transaction going on there. It was just a product that I absolutely loved. And they were looking for different creators. They had that kind of style where they would team up with different creators an awful lot of the time and kind of bring them in and bring in their audiences and open themselves up to new audiences. And yeah, they found me. They obviously seen me posting about it and they were like, we'd love to work with you in some sense. And they were coming out with a palette with three other creators. So the four of us were kind of like the face of the palette as such. Yeah, it was
incredible.
Like it just, and it's funny because at my makeup shows, people would ask me, who's a brand you'd love to work with? And I always said Morphe. And little did baby Kaylee know that she was going to be actually collaborating with literally the biggest online makeup brand at the time.
But how special is that? Like that,
it's
like
wild.
We talk about social media and there's loads of negatives. But my God, it's special when something like that happens.
When it clicks, yeah. And like I said, something that I would never, ever in a million years think that would happen. It's just crazy. But again, the feeling from that though, seeing people being like, oh, I love this product. Like I use this every day now. This has helped my confidence, or this makes my makeup so much easier. That is my why. When people say that to me and they're like, thank you so much for doing that, or this is my favorite product. Like I wore this on my wedding day.
Yeah.
Or my favorite thing, actually, I love when I'm going out. It could be in the pub, it could be absolutely anywhere. And next, you know, someone beside me whips out my product. I'm like, oh, I love this. I love it.
Does that ever get old? I can't imagine.
Never.
It does.
Yeah. No, it, how cool. It never, ever will get old. I just think that's, you know, it's a big thing. People are spending their hard-earned money and really trusting in me and trusting in the brand. And yeah, I just think that's incredible.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And I think that's really special, that like social media can kind of cross all these barriers and boundaries of like, you get to work with your dream company. Mm-hmm. Did that then give you the kind of, not the blueprint, but that give you kind of the confidence, I suppose, to then go, do you know what? I reckon I could do this.
It lit the fire 100%. Yeah. And like I said, my management, my business partners, obviously I wanted to have my own brand. I just didn't know that I'd be able to start it so easily. And I remember he asked me, he's like, well, why don't you do it? And I couldn't answer him. I was like, actually, there's no reason why I shouldn't be doing this right now. So let's get the wheels turning. Let's start it. And that's how it all began then. It's, again, I've learned so much though from the industry. I really didn't know about the back end of it. I knew about creating the products. Again, the makeup, that's easy. That's really easy for me. The back end, it opened my eyes to an awful lot. So we actually went out to the factories. A lot of people don't do that until they pick their factories, but I wanted to go out and meet all the factories first before we decided who we were going to work with. Because again, perfectionist, I was like, no, this needs to really make sense. We were, what was it? I think it was 10 different cities and 15 factories in the span of like 5 days. It was back to back like crazy, but I had the time of my life getting to see how makeup was made.
Because you're in your zone.
Yeah. But it really opened my eyes as well to white labeling. So that's like a really big thing in the makeup industry. Say like labs would make a product, they'd have the packaging and you kind of put your name on it. And I think these labs kind of got a bit of a fright whenever they seen me coming in because they were like, you're very picky. I'm like, I don't want something that you're after making. I want what's out there. I want better. I want to create something new. I want something that is going to excite people. And using my makeup knowledge that I've learned for years, how can we come out with something that's really exciting or really, really cool? And like I said, even our quality management is ridiculous. The lab do their own inspection, but we have a team over there as well that do their inspection on the ground before it even leaves there.
Okay.
But yeah, really interesting to see the back end of it and how all the products are made. Like, I just love that.
Was it a steep learning curve?
It was, again, because I think the more of the learning curve was actually probably getting the products into Ireland then. So I think, again, because that was the makeup I'm good with. I know everything I need to know with makeup. You can't test me on that. But then when it came to, the logistics, like I said, we'd no kind of business experience at this point. Instead of being afraid of that, I was kind of like, right, okay, well, how do we learn? Mm. And we learned very, very quickly. We were very naive, I would say, at the start, definitely. We had this tiny little room that we were like, well, this is where we're going to do all our packing from. And then the first shipment came, we were like, half of that won't even fit in that room. Half of that won't even fit in that room. So we had to learn very quickly.
These are my favorite stories. Yeah. I've had so many people on there like, it ended up in my mom's front room.
Yes.
And I'm like, I love that.
Yeah. And you get everyone involved, friends, family, everyone kind of really chipping in, especially at the start.
When you were setting up, what did you promote it yourself? Or how are you going to sell it? Like, were you trying to get into pharmacies, or were you going to sell it through yourself? Or what was the crack?
So we set up during COVID 2020. Nice. So everything shut down. How are people going to buy makeup if they're not going to wear it out and about? They did. And I think it just goes to show that people wear makeup for themselves as well, which I'm a really big advocate for. So obviously we started online just. That was the place we were really comfortable with, of course. With obviously me being online and marketing, that was kind of our like key place or where we felt most comfortable. So we started at that. And then as the world started opening up, that's when we kind of started looking at retailers. But again, it's kind of quality over quantity. Where's the best place we can go into first, or what kind of says, you know, makes a statement about our brand and if we're wanting to branch out. What we found is that, of course, the brand was growing and people knew about the brand through me. But my biggest goal is actually people knowing Cash just for the brand. Never mind me. I want people to see Cash, be like, oh, that's that great brand. I've got a product from them that's really good. Let me try something else. That's the biggest goal. So yeah, at the beginning, it was more so focused, obviously, online, me promoting it and stuff like that. But now that we've moved into retail, that's when I can really see the difference between people who don't know the brand, don't recognize me, but just love the products, or heard people talking about the products online. And that's my like biggest like win with that.
How did you, well, you built something bigger than yourself then, right? It's like, you know, the whole thing of like, oh, make money when you sleep. I think as a creator, there's a real pressure just to keep creating.
Yeah.
if you stop, it stops. Mm-hmm. I said that to someone last week. I was like, oh, yeah. I love podcasts. They're the best thing in the world. Yeah. The only negative is if you stop, it stops.
I think that's probably one of the hardest things I've found personally with having my, because I essentially have two brands. I've Cash and then I've Kaylee MUA. For so long, I was giving Kaylee MUA 120%. That was my main focus. I was killing it, so consistent. Now I've started this brand. This needs 120%. People spend their money on this. If I have 120% over here, there's nothing over here.
Yeah.
So it's actually kind of trying to see how they work together more seamlessly.
Yeah.
I feel like, but again, I feel like that's probably one of the hardest things is whenever you start a business, you get so stuck into it and you're so used to doing all the little nitty gritty things that when do you get to the point where you're like, okay, I need to step back a little bit. I've hired these people to do this. I think you get so used to doing everything that it's kind of hard then to take a step back and like, let someone else, they're the expert in that, let them do that.
And how did you do that? I think that you think you've summarized it beautifully there, like that transition between, you know, 120% here, 120% here, yeah. and then also trying to have like some sort of a life, some sort of balance. Yeah. Like, how did you learn that? Because I guess you had to learn it from scratch.
Yeah. The biggest thing I learned as well, balance isn't 50-50. And I think that was something I was kind of looking for at the start. I was like, oh, well, if I'm doing this, I have to be doing this. No. The brand sometimes is going to need 80%. Okay, I've got 80% here. What can I do personally or Kaylee MUA that makes sense then? Because at the start, I was putting so much energy into the brand Cash and I was getting so annoyed at myself because I wasn't keeping up with Kaylee MUA. But it's like, but you're putting all this time and energy into this. So you have to, there has to be a compromise somewhere or, you know, what you kind of expect from yourself when you are putting 120% into something. I like that. Sometimes the business demands more. Sometimes I need to be working this much with it and this kind of needs to take a back seat for a second. But then I know when this comes down that this can come up. So balance isn't 50-50. It's this.
Yeah. Someone explained to me recently is like the work-life balance thing is a myth.
Yeah.
It's like work-life harmony.
Yes, exactly.
Because it goes in cycles. And when he explained it to me, I was like, oh, I'm at this like 20 years and I still had never anyone explain to me like that. He's like, it's cycles.
Yeah.
You have sprints and then you have rest. You have sprints and rest, sprints
100%.
And rest. He's like, you can't be like in this like, oh, I have 50% here and 50% here because you launch a new product and it's like 98% has to go there today because that's launch day.
100%.
He's like, you have to think of the harmony. So you're flowing. You're flowing between two. And I think we were chatting about earlier, it's like you have to plan and then execute.
Yeah.
You have to have your plan going, okay, look, we know Cash is going to demand this in Q2 because we've got this, this and this.
Yeah.
Okay, what does that mean for Kaylee? Okay, Kaylee has. And treating yourself like two, you have two businesses essentially,
and
right?
That's, do you know what I actually find is it's actually having a plan more for personal. Does that make sense? So actually putting in the time of being like, okay, this is when I'm going to take this weekend off and this is when I'm going to do that. So that whenever you are in the really busy peak times, you could say, okay, that's where I'm going to recharge and I can keep going until that. Do you know?
Yeah. I love talking to people about business brain body because I've kind of evolved over the years. I'm like, I want to really dig underneath the entrepreneur to understand the whole, some of the parts.
Makeup.
Because, but it's like, how do you do that? Because I think people will look at you and go, it's all consuming and it's this and this and this. How do you balance those other elements of your life beyond?
Yeah, you see, because I love my work so much and so much of what I love as in as a person, which is to be creative, I can do in my work. Does that make sense? But of course, I'm a really big believer in you having to kind of take yourself out of it though. I think if you're in your bubble too much, you can get too sucked in and you kind of can't see the bigger picture.
I agree.
Sometimes you could be working so hard on something and sometimes you need something that's a complete distraction that kind of switches off your brain. That's when I find I have the best ideas.
Yeah.
Because I'm not even thinking about it.
You're standing too close to it.
Yeah.
It's like when you're like trying to see something, you're standing,
exactly.
Your eyes are literally up against it. And then you step back and go,
I get
it now. So how do you do that?
I love reading, not business books, fantasy books. So I something again that'll just take me out totally.
I've only got into fantasy books recently.
Have you?
I'll get some recommendations off you. The gold, was it the golden? What's the one with your man?
I love it.
Think of it. Yeah. Because I was into them, then I wasn't. I've got back in. I'm going to get some good book recommendations off you after this.
So I love, again, something that completely switches me off.
Yeah.
I love playing video games as well. I love Pokemon.
I've
always played it since I was a kid. Again, it just switches my brain off. I need something that just takes me out. There's this quote, it's like to be creative, you have to be bored. And I think sometimes if you're forcing that, oh, I need to think of this or I need to do that, it doesn't come.
If you're sitting in the room with the whiteboard, I was doing it yesterday, sitting in the room with the whiteboard, staring at it.
Yeah, just waiting for an idea.
Yeah, I was grand for about 45 minutes and then my creativity just plummeted.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, time to leave now.
I find that's probably a really hard thing as well as a creative, and I'm mixing with business though, is the balance between being a creative and knowing that, okay, I know my best ideas come from this when it's not forced, but then also you got a business here that needs this from you. So like you need to find the way to be able to do that. And also that, so yeah, I think switching off for me is a really big thing. Something that I try to do as well, obviously I'm in the office like 5 days a week with the guys, but I'm trying to have key days that are just for me, where I don't necessarily have to talk or like have meetings with any of the guys within Cash, because for me, I'd like give my energy to people. Do you know, when I'm around and the people that's working with me, I'm always over and like with them in that sense. So I need to kind of be in myself to come up with ideas as well. So I need me time. That's a really big thing for me. I need me time.
What do you do in that me time?
Like that, either read or else play my game. Or if it's within work, it's more so kind of looking at different things that I would get inspired by. So say for makeup, I actually don't really like to look at other makeup brands as such to get inspiration. I love looking at other brands. I always say that it's like I never look directly at what's going on. Obviously, you need to know what's going on in your world. You need to know what your competitors are doing. But I always say it's like, look, don't stare. So you know what's going on, but don't look at it for too long, do you know? So that you don't get distracted by that. And yeah, I think, again, because so much of what I do is still fueled by online, I'm constantly looking for other trends that people are doing, what's like fun that I feel like could make sense for the brand to post about, how can I show the behind the scenes a little bit more, something I'm really wanting to do. Again, kind of opening people up to the personal journey, I feel like, a little bit more.
Look, don't stare.
Yeah,
look, don't stare. Stealing that.
Yeah.
People ask me, what podcast do you listen to? And I'm like, mainly like football, just random stuff. Because again, I'm always afraid of mimicking, always afraid of just becoming, and like you, I don't really look at the business world, I look like the fitness world, the sport world, the really slick branding world. I look at that and go, how could I take that campaign from Nike and make it my own? How could I like bring that design
100%.
From Rimowa and bring the Rimowa aesthetic into podcasts? Because there's a real, there is a danger of sitting, if you're looking sideways, you're not looking ahead. That's kind of how I think of
it. You're not focused on yourself. And I've always been like that though. I think even within the creative industry, I always believe there's enough followers and there's enough everything for everybody. I've always collaborated with other content creators. I love that. I love human interaction even within that. I feel like you can learn off each other. And I love seeing other people doing well as well, though.
It's win-win. I'm exact same as you. Like, there's enough people in the world. Don't be petty and precious about like your little garden. There's enough.
I don't you'll get far, though, if you are that way. Does that make sense?
They only get to a certain point. I always see this. Like, and you see people do stuff to you, and you're like, why would you do that? That's such an odd short-term view to take. And it's always people that aren't that good.
Yeah.
They're people who've okay, but they feel like Kalius to lose for me to win.
Yeah, I don't think, I think that's a loser's probably mentality then as well.
It is. It's the scarcity mindset.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, there's only 100 eggs on the table. I want to have all the eggs. No. It's bizarre. And like, winners focus on winners. Winners focus on winning. Losers focus on winners, right? Yeah. It's that thing of like, you have to be forging your own path, because you would never come up with cash. You were just like, 100%. I'll slap my name on a product.
And it's, yeah, exactly. And you can see whenever brands do that though, that it doesn't last very long as well. And I also say as well, especially with Irish people are great bullshit detectors.
Oh, it's through the roof.
They could just tell it like it's a mile off roof. Straight away, you know?
Because we come from a place of skepticism.
Yeah, exactly.
Irish people come from, it's not like the American thing of like, oh, wow, it's amazing. We come from a place of, what's the story with
that? What's going on
there? What's the story there?
What's she really doing?
What's she up to?
Yeah, 100%. I get it, yeah.
So the first launch, talk to me about that. I'm always fascinated by like the first day, the first launch. Like, talk to me about that, like that first product that you launched. What was it?
So we had an eyeshadow palette, we had 3 lip kits, so it had a lipstick and a lip liner in it, and we had eyelashes. So it was very much a sign of the times. People were kind of wearing a little bit more makeup then. And again, it was something that I was really comfortable in as well, was the color cosmetics. So very much the eye makeup, all about colors. And it was what my followers loved as well. And the first thing though, and a big thing about Cash as a brand as well, I want to create makeup for absolutely everybody. So how can I create products here that everybody can use? It's not necessarily just to one person or one skin tone. It's like, this suits absolutely everybody. So it was really, really important for me from the get-go. Yeah, like I said, we were just very naive. God love us. When I think back to where we thought we were going to set up, the bank account, though, it was funny, we were talking about this as well the other day, when we were literally just about to launch Cash, so we had all the products in. Of course, when it's kind of a product business like this, you're spending all your money. It's scary because you're putting all your money away and you don't know if this is going to work, and you've suddenly spent all this money and you're waiting to launch before you actually make it back. I think that it was literally close to zero in the Cash Beauty account when we were literally just starting.
So you had to personally fund all the stock.
Mm-hmm.
So you should pay for all the stock
Everything,
out.
Yeah.
And then you're waiting.
Okay. You're waiting for it to actually go on sale to see the return. You're sitting there, oh my God, is this going to work? Like, it has to work. We're after spending all this money. We have to make this work. And it's funny, again, I think people think that you're sitting there, you're sitting in a big office and it's all this stuff going on. When in reality, it was myself and my business partners sitting around the kitchen table. We're like, oh my God, we're live. Like, we just pressed live. And like seeing all over the world where people were tuning in from as well. And like seeing them on the Shopify app was insane too. Just country. Do you know what? I've learned an awful lot about business, but an awful lot about geography as well since starting the brand. There's places I've never even heard of that Cash has been sent to.
How cool though.
Yeah. Oh no, it's incredible. It's like just ridiculous, to be honest.
What did that first day feel like?
It's just ecstasy. That's it. It's just absolute craziness. You're after spending all this hard time working on a product, really putting everything into it, spending all this money on it. So there's that kind of fear but excitement at the same time. And you know, you're revealing all your hard work and something that you've really put your heart and soul into, and you're kind of putting it out there to everybody. And I'm not silly. I know that obviously in the world we live in, everyone's not going to love everything that you do, and that's completely fine. I think especially I've learned that from my content creator, you know, era, that people aren't going to love everything. But I was so confident in what I had put into it and knew that I'd put everything into it, and I didn't want, there was no wiggle room for any mistakes to kind of happen. Like I said, we were checking all the products and everything like that. But it was, yeah, incredible to see everyone's reactions and just how much they supported me as well. It's just, there's no word for that.
What do you wish you knew, or what do you wish you could tell yourself back then if you could go back like a couple of days before you launched?
Ooh.
Go, this is going to happen, but don't stress out. Because why?
Because it all works out. I think you need to trust in yourself a little bit more that you've put in all the hard work. You did it. Like you've built yourself up to this point. You've made sure, yes, there's some things you don't know, but you're going to learn it as you go, and that's absolutely fine. But you've put in all the hard work. The main thing that you've worked for over these years, learning about makeup, that's all built up to this moment, I suppose.
Back yourself.
Back yourself, yeah. 100%. I think also enjoy the moment a little bit as well. Again, I think
that's what everyone says, but you don't, because you're just so deep in it, because you have the money worries, the is anyone going to buy this worries.
100%. Yeah.
How am I going to do this worries? It's so hard.
What have I got myself into? Yeah, it's
so hard.
Very much that. I think as Irish people as well, we're very bad for that though. Do you know?
Ash, it's grand.
Oh, it's grand. Ash, it's grand. No worries,
just signed $1 million deal. Ash, it's grand.
It's grand, yeah.
Yeah.
But sure, no, we are. Weather though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, it is. And look, it is hard. And you kind of have to like bring yourself out of that a lot to kind of go, oh no, this is good. We have the fear, if we're honest. We all have the fear.
Oh, we
of
do.
Like, oh yeah, that's good. But you know what's better? This, or oh gosh, and you really need to get to there.
Yeah.
Not,
it's what drives you on.
Not falling into the when I disease, oh, when I get there, I'll be happy. Not that at all.
No.
But you constantly have to be on to the next one, because that's what keeps you alive.
100%.
That's what makes you survive and evolve and build new things. You touched on something there that I want to ask you about. How do you deal with negativity online? Because you've been in the online world. Because I was running this morning and someone was like, I saw your TikTok there. You get a bit of hate, don't you? And I was like,
this is so funny.
Yeah, a bit. But like, to be honest, anyway, I'll give my point on it in a while. How do you deal with it? Because you've been through the evolution of it, right? Uh-huh. You've over 10 years in it now. How do you deal with it?
To be honest, I've always been this kind of person. If someone says something to me or tells me to do something, I want to do the opposite. I'm very stubborn in that sense. I think I grew up, being told that even as well. You know, if someone's saying something to you, you're just jealous of you. Like that's, again, I think an Irish thing too. But for me, it's humans in general, they love to focus on the negative. Okay, so if I'm getting 100 comments, 99 of them are good and one of them is bad, and I'm putting all my energy into the one negative comment, I'm actually doing a disservice to the 99 people who took time out of their day to comment something nice. So that's how I kind of flipped it around. I actually kind of took myself out of it. and kind of looked at, okay, well, these people are, you know, wanting to support me and stuff. Why am I going to give my time and energy to somebody like this? Also, majority of the time, they're fake pages. So if it's not
user 77777.
Exactly, yeah.
So, I just wonder, yeah. How do people have so much time?
But see, this is the thing. What normal person do you know that sits at home and does that? You don't know them.
Who are they?
But exactly.
That's what I always wonder. I always try to go, play this back now, Gary. What is that person doing right now?
They're sitting on their computer like that. Yeah, and
it's
I just told myself, you know, I'm not letting myself focus on this. And also, if it's nothing that my friends or family have ever said to me, if it's nothing that anyone's ever had the balls to say to my face, then I can't get offended by it. Yeah. And I can't let it stop me. Do you know? And I think also as well, when I think about the people that I really appreciate in the world, or like, I don't know, celebrities or whatever that I love, and I could see that they're getting horrible comments too, I'm like, this is the most perfect person in my head. I think they're absolutely incredible, and they're still getting negativity.
Yeah.
So you definitely have to train yourself. It's not easy because, like I said, we're programmed to maybe focus on the negative, but you just have to teach yourself to be different. If you want to survive in this world, you can't focus on negative people. If you were to let the things that people were saying negatively to you in, you'd stop. You wouldn't be doing this anymore. And then you wouldn't be successful. And then they win. And that's the worst thing.
What a summary.
Yeah.
I love it.
Can't let them win.
So how did you then evolve, right? Because you launched Cash. Mm-hmm. What were the kind of key moments in the first kind of year? Because first year is always the one where you're like, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Bring me through kind of the couple of that first year where you're like, oh, this is happening.
Yeah.
What about this?
So again, because we launched everything online, it was just during COVID times. Mm-hmm. And that's where we were really comfortable in.
When did you launch?
Online. 2020, September 2020.
Oh, yeah. Right in the middle of it.
Right in the thick of it. Yep. Which is scary in itself. Yeah, it was scary in itself because, again, people weren't going out. So are they going to be buying makeup? Mm. Do you know? But again, like I said, people wear makeup to feel good, not necessarily to be seen wearing it. People were really into learning how to be better at makeup at that stage as well. And it made them feel really good. So we were really comfortable in that online, obviously through myself and marketing and whatnot. That was a very, like, I would say kind of probably more smooth sailing stage for us. We were able to adapt and learn so quickly and learn so much about the business, the logistics sides of things, because everything was still contained within.
It was one channel, one method.
Exactly. We still had the most control over it. I think probably the biggest thing then was moving into retail.
When did you do that?
So how many years has it been now? I believe it was 2 years after, so 2022. So whenever things started opening up, we sat down to have a meeting actually with Brian Thomas. And we were sitting there, we're like, right, we have to get really ready to sell ourselves here. You know, we have everything we want to say. We have all our percentages and whatnot. Let's go in.
Serious business now.
And then we opened up the call and they were almost selling themselves to us. So again, we had a really unique experience because we were able to build our brand up within the first 2 years, so that whenever we wanted to go into retail, it was actually, we had people knocking on our doors, which was just amazing.
That's an amazing power dynamic as well.
Yeah. And I think it was really incredible because we kind of, again, got to have a little bit more control still and the quality and where we wanted to launch first. So Brian Thomas was the first retailer we launched into. We were actually the first Irish makeup brand in Brian Thomas, which was really, really exciting.
What a place to launch though. Like,
it says a lot. And that's, again, it's kind of what we wanted as well, and kind of to come in swinging into that space to be like, this is who we are. A lot of brands kind of go for like mass, expansion kind of into a lot of different pharmacies and whatnot. We kind of took a different approach. It was more so who makes more sense for us and kind of like the quality and control. So we're in just under 200 locations now. And that's been a game changer for us as well, because again, there's a lot of people who love to buy makeup in store. And, you know, they're not going to wait for something to come online. They need to see it in person. Mm. They need to feel it. They need to, like, test it on their skin. And also, when we were just online, we were kind of missing that market of, you know, people who were going out at the weekends and they're like, oh, I need to pick up a pair of lashes, or I need to pick up this. So it was kind of, again, taking it away from people who just followed me. It was kind of putting it into a space where people they were kind of hearing this brand for the first time. What is this? I need to try this. Let me try this out.
And you want to meet people where they are, right?
Exactly.
That's the thing. You want to be where people are. And it's like the podcast. I don't mind whether people watch TikTok clips or Instagram or LinkedIn, or sit down on YouTube and watch it over an hour or listen.
Yeah.
I don't mind, as long as you meet them where they are.
100%. And it was a massive investment though as well. ones to actually put it into store. Like, that was huge.
So why is that big?
It's because you have to make the actual stands. Like, it's so much money to even have them made, and then you're stocking all the products within it then as well. So you're paying for the stands in itself too. Right. So you want to make sure that the retailers you're going into, that it makes sense, do you know? And try not to overpopulate yourself probably in the one place as well in between it, and really trying to figure that out. There's still more places for us to grow in Ireland, which is really exciting. But yeah, once we kind of went into retail, that really kind of opened us up and kind of took the pressure off online.
Okay.
A little bit.
So what changed for you? I think that's the interesting thing, is that like online is not simple, but you kind of understand, right? Yeah. Oh, we're online, click, order, yeah. Ship. When you went in retail, like, what was the changes? You're like, oh, this is totally different because of why? Like, apart from the stands. Stands is a really interesting example, because you don't really think of that. You're like, oh yeah, someone has to make them, pay for them, get them there, stock them.
Yeah.
A lot goes
into
it.
And that's a massive thing actually as well. Our whole kind of business switched, because even how we were ordering products and just to sell them online. No. Now you need to order thousands more, because you're going to have to make sure that these stands are fully stocked the whole time. You don't want people going into a stand that doesn't have any products on it.
Yeah.
So the whole business kind of changed within that then, because you're supplying obviously the different retailers as well. So that was a big learning curve then too. And a lot of the places that we're in say they will have specific times for launches. So it's not kind of like, oh, we can launch whenever we want. This is when we want to. Oh, that shipment's delayed. No problem. Mm. Sure, we could just push it out a week. No, we need those products in. This is the only time we have to get your products in. So your kind of whole business changed. You're not just doing it for yourself, I suppose, online, but we were very lucky that we had that time to be able to really focus on ourselves and understand the business even more, so that when we went into retail, we had like a really strong footing almost there.
Okay, so the lesson here is like, nail one part first. Don't try to be all things to all people.
Yeah.
Nail one piece,
yeah,
and then bolt it on, as opposed to like trying to scattergun yourself across everything.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting insight, the way you've broken it down there. Because you kind of think, oh yeah, they're for sale.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
No, there's so much more to it then as well. That comes into it once you start going into retailers. But again, it's been massive for us then too, because people who never knew about the brand are now seeing it so much more. I've had people come up to me who don't know me at all, and they're like, I could be at the cash stand or whatever, and they're like, oh yeah, I've heard all about this brand now. My friend has talked about it. I'm like, you have no clue who I am, and I love
Brilliant.
That. I love it.
Well, you built something bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
Is it a massive investment then?
Yes.
Like, do you have to step change it up when you're going into retail? You're like, oh good. Oh, God.
100%. Yeah. And again, it's even your different payment terms you can have with different retailers is always going to be a little bit different. So trying to negotiate that is a big part of it too. And then you're negotiating with your lab as well, your factories, to make sure that they're getting the products in. And again, there's so much money that you're kind of moving around in between that to kind of manage it, I suppose, at all times. But yeah, like I said, it was just a totally different ballgame. It was a lot easier whenever it was just online. The retailers bring in a whole other factor of that.
And did you have to like raise money to do this, or did you bootstrap this yourself?
So we actually got investment recently then as well from Castlegate, and they were a massive, massive help for us. I think that was a really big thing as well when it came to investment. I didn't want just an investor just to throw kind of money at us. It was almost someone that we feel like we could learn off as well.
Okay.
So not only were they investing, but they were also given us their expertise as well from the business world. And it was actually once we got the investment from them, that's when we were really able to push into retail. Because like I said, that was a massive, like getting all the stands and everything in. It was so much money that would have to be invested into it that would be taken out of the business that's just kind of been held there until we actually get the products in and being sold.
I get you. So you would have been kind of like almost like handicapping the business by just draining it of cash.
Yeah,
it makes it very fragile then, doesn't it?
And this is the thing, Joe, so funny. Everyone always says to me, I think people think I'm worth millions. Like millions. They're like, oh my God, you're a millionaire. And I'm like, you're just telling me you don't know anything about business if you think I'm a millionaire, because my
brand... You know, one Instagram follower doesn't equate to like 1 euro,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. And also, I'm like, our business is not even 5 years old yet. Do you know, every bit of money that I'm making is going straight back in to make it the biggest it can possibly be. That's what I'm saying. When they say that, I'm like, you just don't get business then. So if you think that I'm not investing everything straight back in, yeah it's interesting.
But I love it, because it shows like, it's cool because it's the optics then of you. It's the optics of you. It's the optics of cash. And it's a real compliment, I think.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they don't understand. They don't understand stock and costs and insurance and light and
everything,
heat and offices and staff and shipping and stands.
Yeah.
And that's why I love doing it. these chats with people because it just helps people understand
a little bit more
the different industries and the different people behind them. And like, kind of, I think it gives people a lot more respect for brands and what they do. It's not just like, oh yeah, bang my name there on that and someone else. Mm-hmm. I think to think like the shipping fairies just like handle the
just
shipping.
Magically appears.
Oh, I ordered it and Kaylee said it was this and then it arrived in my letterbox. Yeah. You know, they don't realize sometimes that it's actually you and it's your business partners and it's this. Mm-hmm. And there's all these logistics and moving parts. That's why I love kind of digging into these different industries, kind of going, ah, the stands, that's such an obvious thing.
Yeah.
But to the punter on the street like me who walks in and goes, oh yeah, beautiful stand, cool.
You just see it there.
You just see it as a piece of furniture.
Yeah. You don't realize
see it as a marketing expense.
Yeah.
That you kind of have to like, you get it from Kaylee's brain into your hands, into like a lab, in from the lab. Like all these different steps.
Yeah. It's really cool though. That's what I mean. I've loved it so much, is like learning so much from the business in that sense, like taking my love for makeup and then actually creating something from it. Like I've learned so much in the past like 5 years now.
What's been the big thing about product development that you're like, oof, that's a huge thing I never understood, even from being in the industry?
Yeah, again, kind of what I said earlier about white labeling, I didn't realize that a lot of brands were kind of really doing that. I thought more people would have been kind of invested in it a little bit
more. White labeling means the brand's always already built. You just go in and you slap on your brand onto it.
Yes.
It's already there. You're not inventing anything new.
100%. Whereas whenever I go into labs, like I was saying, a lot of them would be like, you're so picky. So actually the biggest example of this, probably I'd mentioned it to you, was Aura Skin. So we come out with foundations and concealers.
What's it called?
Aura Skin.
Okay.
Aura Skin. So it's kind of like a... that's the name of the product, and then I have foundations and concealers underneath it.
Okay. So, is that a new product?
Yeah, it came out in October.
Okay.
So only October, and it's already our biggest selling product then, so.
Wow.
Which is exciting. So with beauty brands then, complexion like that, foundation and concealer can actually make up 80% of the sales. So we had been going 4 years without even having that yet, which is insane.
How come?
To even think of. It takes a very long time to make them properly, especially the way I work. I want it to be absolutely perfect. So I think for me, when we were sitting down to create this product, it like had to be absolutely perfect. And again, I'm thinking of the bigger picture here. Yes, I'm a smaller Irish brand, but I want to be global. So how can I create a product here that's going to stand the test of time and really sit up against those big heavy hitters like the NARS, the MAC, like the iconic makeup brands? I need to come in and know that I'm creating a product that can stand up beside them and, you know, really like look like it's supposed to be there. So the whole behind the brand, or behind even making of that product, was insane. So I flew over to Korea. Korea is the biggest for skin innovation. I think you've probably seen this all over TikTok as well.
My wife talks about it all the time. Yeah. That's why I'm nodding like
Korean
this at you.
Skincare.
She showed me TikToks. I'm like, that's cool. Yeah. Our TikTok feeds are very different.
Yeah, I imagine so. But even within that, yeah. So Korea, I was like, I wanted to work with absolute experts in the field. Of course, I'm an expert in makeup, but I want to know what the scientists are really working on. What's the new ingredients? Yeah. What's like the coolest of things that we're doing? So we flew over there. I was supposed to only be in the lab, I feel like. It was for probably 3 or 4 days. I ended up being in there, I think it was for 5 or 6 then, because I was just so wanting to make sure that it got perfect. This is 30 shades of foundation, 20 shades of concealer. This is 50 products. So you can imagine the investment even into that is like millions. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's why it takes so long to kind of build into that product. I've been getting asked about foundation and concealer since I started the brand. I'm like, give me a minute, please. It's so much money. And then, of course, you're investing so much money and time into it that you have to make sure it's perfect.
Yeah.
It needs to be perfect. What's different about this? So a lot at the minute, a lot of the big brands are actually taking back their foundation and concealers and revamping them to have skincare products in it. Whereas I'm able to come in swinging right now with that.
I understand.
Yeah.
You've already got them built in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that took such a long time, obviously, because like I said, there's 30 different shades. It's not a matter of one formula fits all for each shade. If it's like a darker foundation, it needs more pigment in it. So you need to play around with that as well. It's not like love this formula, apply it to all. I have to test every single product. And then not only just me, I have to test it on loads of different people as well.
Gotcha.
I'm not just selling this product for me. I need all different ages, you know, skin types, skin tones. These people need to try it. I can't just launch this without people actually, you know, seeing if it works for them. Yes, it might work great for me, but it might not work great for them. So with this being the biggest project that we've ever done, how can we make it the best again that it can be, and think of everything, and there's no loopholes here, and how can we really flesh this out and make this something really special and amazing. That was probably the scariest thing I've done, to be honest. That was probably the hardest I've ever worked for anything in my life, but it's been so rewarding. So rewarding. It's crazy. And because I think foundation and concealer too, it's a very hard product for people to sway from.
It's like, okay, so if you buy it, you buy it.
It's kind of like marriage. Like, yeah, they're kind of, they love it.
This is your thing.
They know it works for them. So I completely understand that, how hard it is to get people to convert from their foundation and concealer over to this, because that's their base for their products and everything else kind of goes on top of it, right? But the reviews that we've had so far has just been like absolutely incredible. And again, like I said, I'm not expecting everyone to fall in love with things. You're kind of gearing yourself up for, okay, well, I know I've done the best I could do here, and it might not suit everybody, but I've tried to make it suit as many people as possible and make it exciting for people and know that it doesn't just look good in their skin, but it feels good in their skin. And yeah, like I said, the reactions just so far has been amazing.
I love, as you're telling me that story, I just love the full circle-ness of this.
Yeah.
Like you, young Kaylee, getting the bus from Monaghan to Dublin every day, doing her reps. You didn't know where it was going to go. You had that gut feeling of like, and people, it's kind of trite advice, but it's the best advice. Like, trust your gut. I don't know what my gut's saying, but you got to go deeper. You got to kind of go, sometimes you got to do the work. And you've referenced this like throughout the chat, is that, you know, I didn't know there was going to be a financial payoff here, but I just knew I loved the product. I didn't know it was going to be a payoff here, but I really wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, all those thousands of hours, which I'm sure are just so hard, doing makeup on people, thankless, probably difficult people, beautiful transformations, but also days where you're like, you're sick, you're tired.
Yeah.
Like that graft, like just for every entrepreneur listening who might be in the kind of like the valley of despair in the first couple of years, you're like, this isn't working.
Yeah.
You just have to do the reps. There's no shortcuts.
Yeah, there's none. There's no shortcuts. And if you do take a shortcut, it'll catch up with you eventually as well. I really think if you find something that you really love, like I really do believe in that, because a business takes absolutely everything from you. It's going to take all your time. It's going to take all your energy. It needs to be something that you're obsessed with and that you want to create and create the best that you can. Like that's what's going to kind of drive you and spur you on. Like baby Kaylee wouldn't believe any of this stuff has happened at all. If you were to tell baby Kaylee this, I think she'd faint. Do you know, like this was never the plan as such. I just knew, like I said, I wanted to be the best makeup artist I could be, and anything that I kind of put my hand to at that stage, as long as it was creative and I enjoyed it, I want to be the best at it. So, yeah.
You've had like a while. 2020 to now is not a long time.
Yeah.
Plus COVID feels a bit like a fever dream.
Yeah.
You had 2 years there where you're like, 2 years of that?
What?
And I think we've all PTSD'd it into the back of our minds.
We have,
To jump out and lurk us again in a couple of years. We'll all have to talk about it at some stage.
Yeah.
But so eventually you had three normal years. Mm-hmm. And they're not normal years, because the world at the minute is not normal.
Mm-hmm.
We've had like ups, downs. Everything's been happening on hyperspeed. How have you managed to grow, like, you've talked about so much there in terms of your own personal knowledge and your business partners and investment and the team. Like nothing happens without like a good team, right? This is the 100%. Kind of the commonality to all the best entrepreneurs I've spoken to, like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens without the team.
Yeah.
How have you managed to build that out? Again, coming from somewhere where it was just you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the hardest thing, is when you work on your own, it's really hard to trust other people. It's really hard to like, I'll just do it. It's okay. This is how I've always done it. How have you done that?
Oh, again, I feel like I just learned that you can't do everything. Yes, you've done everything starting out, but you were smaller then. As you grow, it kind of feels like you're holding the reins on a horse almost, that you're not letting it run. You kind of feel like you're holding yourself back. Again, it was really personal to me because I have an online platform, so that was even more harder for me to kind of give my trust over. And I think when you're so used to doing everything yourself as a startup, again, you do everything, you get into the nitty gritty. But I think it's really about hiring people who are experts like in their field, and who are just so driven and passionate and really believe in what you're trying to do here. Like some of the people we have working for us now, I'd be laughing at them in the office. I'm like, is this your brand or mine? The way they go on, they're so passionate about it, and they just really believe in me and what I'm trying to do here with Cash and what we're trying to do. And it's just, it really is everything. I think once you have great people working for you and who you can trust, that allows you then to be able to focus on what you really need to be doing. Do you know, so instead of being involved in all the nitty gritty little things of the business now, it's like, okay, my main thing, product development, obviously. That's what I need to be more so focused on. That's where all my time needs to go. Marketing then as well, but we've got a great marketing team. But how can I focus then back on Kaylee MUA that builds up alongside Cash? it's kind of taking yourself out again of the bubble when you're standing too close to it. What do I really need to be doing here? And having these people that give you the confidence to know that that's being looked after is massive.
And like finding those people, how do you find them? Because that's what everyone else says the minute. Oh, Gary, it's so hard to find staff. And when you keep them, it's so hard to keep. When you get them, it's so hard to keep them.
Yeah.
How have you done that?
Again, I think it's being really open as well, probably with yourself. And again, it's the kind of passion part of it. I think people can learn whenever they come in. So I know that's a big thing whenever we're even hiring people. It doesn't necessarily have to be to do with the credentials or, you know, experience. It's more so experience, but then also the drive and the passion is a massive thing. You can get so much more from somebody who is like so driven and like passionate about the brand and wanting to push that forward, as opposed to maybe someone who has, like I said, more credentials, but maybe not as driven by it. You know, that's who I'll always gravitate towards more, as the brand will always gravitate towards more too.
Because you hear a lot of startups, like so many startups have said it to me, they're going, oh, we're doing really well. And we sort of grow the team. And we thought we needed like these experienced people. Then we got them in and then realized it couldn't work without like monster budgets.
Yeah. And that's hard as a startup. Yeah. Then. Actually, two of the people that we first started with, our first two hires, they're still with us. Yeah. And they, again, a lot of people in our team travel as well to be able to come down to the office and work as well. I think it's about creating that great environment for them too.
Where's the office?
Mullingar.
We had to give that a shout out.
Mullingar. So I'm a Monaghan woman. I'm in Westmead now though. But yes, I moved down whenever we were starting the brand. It made more sense. That's where the warehouses were going to be. That's where the offices were going to be. So it made more sense for me to move down.
Why Mullingar?
That's where my business partners were.
Okay.
And it's closer to Dublin as well. Obviously you're paying extortionate prices in Dublin, so it's nice to be a little bit outside of it and still have the access to it. I'm a country girl true and true as well, so I think it suits me more so there too.
There's a reason, I'm not just being nosy, there's a reason I asked this question, because I feel, one of my gut feelings is the personal branding thing is I'm bullish on, but also the other thing I'm bullish on is that being able to be more location flexible for companies now. Before, Dublin was like a Hoover, it just sucked everything in.
Yeah.
It sucked talent, it sucked companies, it sucked money. Whereas I feel, my gut feelings, I'm trying to figure all this stuff out. I'm trying to like write every day now, kind of going, what am I hearing? Because I'm hearing so much brilliant stuff from people like yourself. I'm like, how do I kind of synthesize this and figure out what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
One of the big things I feel is that companies don't have to be based in Dublin anymore. And I'm using Dublin because that's where we're sitting right now and it's the Irish example. But I just feel like the location is less important. Who you are with is more important. The environment you create, that's when I talk about the studio, like Ben creates a beautiful studio, that matters.
Yeah.
I think you're able to come to Dublin for like a couple of days a week if you want. That's what I do. I commute in and then I go home. I just feel what you're doing seems to be the new model.
Because
I don't think you have to be, because of the pressure you're putting yourself under.
Yeah.
And people are commuting the opposite way. That's cool.
Exactly.
Talk about that.
Yeah. So again, like I said, I'm a country girl. So I feel like that's always been something for me, is I don't mind. I myself had to travel up to Dublin as well then too. But to be honest, I think it's as well the traffic even in Dublin, trying to get to one side. I was saying this to you earlier, the amount of time it takes me less than an hour to get to Dublin. That's how long it would take someone in Dublin to get to their location with traffic then as well. So I think we're in a good position at the minute now as well, because obviously the brand is growing, but we're able to keep it to a place where it's like we have our office and it's really personal. Like I said, I'm in there every single day with the guys. So it kind of just creates that more like a great culture in the office. I think that's a massive thing that we really want to have as well, as like people really leaning on each other and helping each other. And we haven't really found, I know we were talking about this too, from like work from home culture then as well. We have people who commute literally hours to come down to us then as well. So people, I think once they're that driven, they don't mind like commuting then as well to where they want to work, and when they really believe in the brand as well. And we can see that.
So how do you look after your mindset?
Yeah.
Because it's I can feel the passion coming off you. It's class. Like, because I've interviewed so many people and sometimes I kind of feel they're going through the motions because either they're not mad about the idea they're pursuing, but it's kind of going well, so they keep going. Or they're kind of like out of love with it. They've kind of like reached the thing where they're like, oh, I'm kind of done with it now. Like the passion coming off you is class. Like, how do you manage your mindset though? Because you are clearly all in on this.
Yeah.
But how do you manage to make sure it doesn't consume you?
I think it's hard because I think a business will end up consuming you. Do you know that, Kevin?
As I was asking the question, I was like, I think I know the answer.
Yeah, it's going to end up consuming you. But I think it's understanding that and realizing that when you get into a business, this is what's going to happen. You have to work. Do you know, there is going to be sacrifices that you have to make, but you have to look at the bigger picture. And I think that's kind of what I'm focused on as well. And I think, again, because I'm in such a fast-paced industry where things are constantly changing, there's always something new to learn and there's always something new to kind of perfect. Do you know, it's funny, like, obviously we've come out with so many makeup products now at this stage, well over 100, that you're like, is there going to be any makeup left to, like, make in the world? But that's really exciting for me, is thinking of something different. And, you know, is there new markets we can enter into? Is there new this we can do? Is there new marketing thing? Like, what's something we've never tried before? Like, I love that. I just feel like it's constantly evolving and constantly more things to learn.
I voice note on my friend Pamela. She's like my go-to for anything beauty. I was like, Pamela, Kaylee's coming in. What should I ask her? Yeah. What are the inside things that I don't know about? She goes, ask her how the hell she innovates so fast. And I was like, I'll ask her. But you've kind of answered it there, as in, like, you're all consumed. You're thinking about this 24/7, pushing, like, over 100. That's insane.
Yeah. And you know what's funny, though, as well? People think, like, how did she do it so fast? Things are in the works for a really long time. Like, the foundation was well over 2 years. Because you think about the back and forth. Okay, this is my original idea. Let's do this. That doesn't work. I don't like that. And that could be a simple thing as, like, the tiny little print on it or, like, the carton. Sometimes I actually find the packaging can be harder to do than the actual product in itself. It's crazy. So there's so much back and forth. Then you finally get the idea. Okay, now we need photo shoot samples. We need to do the photo shoot. PO boxes, POS, what's being sent out to people? What way are they going to get this? How does this look in store? Do we want to do masterclasses whenever it launches then? What's the whole launch plan? What are we looking at with this? Oh, we have to get the products here then as well, by the way. So how long is that going to take to get here? When did the actual finish full-on production? When does it actually land in Ireland? We have to give time for customs, obviously, then as well. We need to get all the products in. Like, there's so much that you have to think of about every single little product, like, just from the making it. Like I said, that's the easy part for me because I know what I want from a product and I know when people get to test it and try it what I want, the final kind of thing. But there's so much in between. It
takes
so long.
That's the zone of genius for you, though, I guess. Yeah. And I guess for a lot of people, that's the zone that kills them because they're not intimate to it. They're a step removed. They might be good on the packaging and the product on the marketing, but they might be very good on the product development. Yeah. Like, when you talk about it there, like, how do you stop perfection becoming paralysis?
It's kind of hard. it's kind of
I'll text
hard.
Your team and they'll go, we'll give you a different answer.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. But again, I feel like I've had to learn in business that you have to be flexible. So say, for example, if I've got my heart really set in this certain packaging, Kelly, you can't do that because that packaging is going to cost the bomb and that doesn't make sense for your customer. They're not going to want to pay that for that. You need to make sure that it makes sense. So what's our main things that we want? It's like affordable luxury products that people can really depend on that will work really well, but isn't going to break their bank either. So it's having to rein myself in on that a little bit and kind of bringing myself back to that. Oh, I've had to learn so much, especially within the perfectionism thing where it's like, okay, this is what you really want, but that's going to cost way too much. So let's strip it back a little bit. That still represents the brand well. It's still going to work properly. That makes me happy. Still.
To a point. How do you get to that point, though? Because I think that's the bit I'm trying to work out. Because listening to you, like, you're so passionate and so driven. And clearly, you want it to be perfect. Because as we know in life, things are very hard to get perfect. Yeah. Very few perfect things. You can get as close to the line as possible. How have you learned to be able to ship? Because shipping products is the most important part, right?
Yeah. I think as well, it's like you have to... Again, it's that thing of what you said about almost taking a step back from it then as well. When you're in it so much, you're like thinking, oh, if I need to do this or this needs to be perfect for this. And then you have someone else look at it and they're like, Kaylee, you're just too in on that. You're wanting that to be perfect, but it already is. Does that make sense? That the customer is not going to look at it actually in that much detail as what you are. So you can actually take a step back from that and kind of remove yourself a little bit is really important. But I also realize if I am too much of a perfectionist like this, nothing will get done. If you're waiting for things to be perfect, you literally won't do anything. You won't get it to be shipped out. There has to be like a certain standard that you are kind of happy with and to go with there. And again, that's probably what the business has taught me is things are never always going to go your way. There's going to be things, no matter how perfect I make that product, the shipping could be delayed for God knows how long. Like during COVID as well, trying to get things across was crazy. there's so many different factors that can come into it that make it not a perfect thing. And you just kind of have to let go. You have to learn to let go. What can you control and what can't? Like, what do you have to let go of? Do you know?
What's working for you in 2025? Because there's brands listening going, she's clearly a marketing whiz, right? Mm-hmm. How do we tap into this knowledge? I love people listening to come away with like one or two little nuggets. Yeah. Kind of going, oh, okay, that's interesting. Okay. I didn't know about that. What would you say for smaller brands listening, regardless of what industry they're in, what should they be looking at, especially maybe from the social side, because that's your forte.
Yeah.
What should they be looking at this year and kind of going, okay, we'll experiment? Because obviously it's called the entrepreneur experiment. I love people to be able to go, let's run an experiment for a month. Let's try. Yeah. That's kind of my philosophy in life is like, let's try it.
Okay.
Let's try it. And this is the criteria we'll have. So what experiments would you say people should try this year?
I said, don't be afraid to play around. I think it's good to have your niche, but don't get too strapped into it that you're not afraid to jump on different trends and make them your own. That's a really big thing. I think you need to put your own personality into it. Again, people buy into a person as opposed to necessarily a brand. So I would definitely say to make sure that you try to be as personal as possible, as to an extent that what you're happy with. I think for me, I actually kind of had to rebrand myself a little bit there from doing this, obviously, the past 10 years. I recently only started doing this makeup series called Makeup Analysis. And where that became from, I don't know if you've seen all the people doing like color analysis.
Yeah.
Have you seen that online?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, this is a really big trend and I love watching these videos. That could be cool if I actually do a makeup analysis. How do I get people involved with this where I help them with their makeup? Again, it comes back to helping them, teaching them. That's what I really love. But then also I can talk about cash my brand in a really organic way, so it doesn't feel like I'm shoving products down people's throat. It's like, actually, if you want this, this is the product you need. If you don't, it's fine. Or like, if you've got this, this is what will help you. I feel like people have a real hunger for wanting to learn about things again, especially with makeup. So it's like trying to see what kind of trends are happening at the minute and how can you really turn them into your own. I think as well, if you find that you're doing something that really worked for you at the start and it's not working anymore, it's time to move on to something else. Do you know, I feel like people can kind of get stuck into the same thing. But online, it moves so quickly. So you need to just not be afraid to try new things. I think if you get too stuck and too rigid in that, you won't grow.
I feel like you're talking to me.
Am I?
I've shared with you my secrets of what we're going to do next. So
yeah, I love it.
What platforms
do
you like this year?
Oh, okay. Instagram has been around for a really long time, obviously. But TikTok is obviously massive too. I feel like TikTok's a really great place for people maybe who don't necessarily have a following first, because it's a lot easy to discover brands there, and it's easy to discover people because you're not nearly just following the people who you follow or watching them, you're watching everybody. So in terms of discoverability, I feel like TikTok's a very good place for that then as well. And then Instagram, I kind of see it as a little bit more businessy. So it's kind of like your portfolio. So you can kind of be a little bit more fun and show off a little bit more on TikTok and kind of do the more gimmicky things. But then when they come over to your Instagram, they're like, oh, I can see exactly what this brand's about straight away.
Yeah, that's an interesting definition, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out, like, because they are different, right?
Yeah.
They're the same.
Very
different. It's short form video.
Yeah.
But they're different.
Very different. TikTok definitely leans into the more organic, throw up a video. It's always the ones that you just filmed, you take 2 seconds to film and they always go viral. It feels more organic that way. Instagram's a little bit more professional, I would say, in terms of like what is being posted and what does well. It's very different content performs better on each one. Yeah,
it's a real insight. It's kind of like TikTok or Instagram is now what your website used to be.
Yeah.
It's like your portfolio, your platform.
100%.
People go, oh, I'll learn more about Kaylee.
Yeah.
Whereas now TikTok is kind of like, it's mad. Like, someone said, like, it's the TikTok application of content.
Yeah.
It's that, like, followers are becoming not less relevant, but content is the arbiter of what works.
Yeah.
If you're good content, it'll go. It doesn't matter if you've 100,000 followers. If you've bad content, it'll just stagnate. Yeah.
That's TikTok. That's what TikTok has done, 100%. It's more so about pushing content that they want. They want people to stay on the platform as long as possible. So if your content is engaging, that they're going to put people more towards you as opposed to the followers that you have.
How do you not get burnt out from social?
Again, it's because it's always changing and I'm constantly inspired by what people are doing. I love that. I do think, you kind of maybe have to take a step back and kind of look at it and be like, okay, this is what I was doing and now it's not working anymore. So let me change up the direction here. I think it's really important for anyone wanting to do social media. It's great. Of course, you need to know your insights. You need to see everything. But as humans, it's very easy for us to put our value on something that has a number attached to it. It's so easy. Like your personal value, you'll value yourself off this number. So if you, this number didn't do as well, oh no, now I've seen it so many times with other content creators where they start creating content for no other reason that they love creating it. Then they start getting followers and they start getting views. And then it's like, oh wait, that one didn't do as good as that. Oh no, that I'm after getting a bad comment there. Okay, what about this? And then they start to retreat back and they actually don't do what they did in the first place, was just creating content that they love to create.
Yeah.
You can get so sucked into numbers. Anything with numbers, humans need to be very careful of, because yeah.
You're bang on the money.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense, right? A lot of stuff in social doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like I could put out like 10 clips of you and blindly put them out, not saying, oh, I want this and this one. You just don't know what one will go.
What
obviously, you've kind of senses of stuff that might work. But it could be the thing on a Tuesday morning is going, wow, people are just, that's
grow legs.
Gone.
Yeah.
It's just taken off. And
it's
the one
wild.
You spend hours on, like you said, oh, that really didn't fly.
So that's why I always say it's about creating stuff that you enjoy, or like if you had fun creating it. And I know that sounds a little bit cliche, but it is really true. And if you feel like it represents your brand really well, I think TikTok's a great place to do that, because again, I know for myself, even with Instagram, I was like, okay, this needs to be perfect, or you need to have perfect lighting for this, or it needs to kind of have this, because you're showing off. I feel like when people come to your page, it's more of a portfolio. But with TikTok, then I'm showing people what I had for dinner almost. You know, people love that stuff. They love getting the little insight. And I'm trying to show a little bit more behind the brand as well, because again, people are really enjoying that kind of content.
I love that content.
Yeah.
I don't care the industry. I'm just fascinated by how.
What are you doing? Why did you make that decision?
Yeah.
Why you picked that color? Like, they get to kind of really see that, I suppose. And kind of making business, I suppose, more accessible to the everyday person as well, so they can kind of see what's going on. Where are these products coming from? How did you come up with this idea? Like, I think people are really interested in that. And
they buy into your story. It goes back to what you said at the very start. They buy into your story, then they buy into Kaylee. They're not just like, oh, there's a brand.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
On they go. Because like you said, people's like bullshit radar is so high that they're kind of expecting to be advertised to and marketed to.
100%.
So if you are going to do that, you have to do it in a very clever, very savvy and a value way.
Exactly.
Give people something.
Yeah.
Don't just like, well, here's the new product.
No.
People
don't like that.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Even if it's the best product in the world, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Because like I always say this to like first time entrepreneurs and students and stuff. Like, no one gives a shit about your brand.
Mm-mm.
You care. No one cares.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom cares, maybe. Not as much as you do. No one else cares.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is just
so
like,
true.
I'm too busy. I'm thinking about what I'm going to have for dinner tonight.
Yeah.
So, but if you're making them laugh, if you're giving them something to think about, if you're interesting or whatever, some sort of reaction, give them some value. It's a value exchange.
100%.
This podcast is a value exchange. You're asking people for an hour, hour and a half of their time.
Yeah.
Better be really interesting.
Yeah.
Better be having fun. They better be learning about you and kind of going, okay. That's why I love kind of breaking that down in such detail, because then people go, okay.
I get it. Yeah.
I get TikTok a little bit more now. I understand, because people are terrified by social, even still in 2025. Like, it's a non-negotiable for me anyway, as business owners. You have to understand it.
You do. You definitely do. And I get it. It's a scary place. And like that, it's constantly changing as well. But you have to be able to adapt and you have to be able to learn. Like, this is the biggest thing, I think, having a business as well. You have to be willing to do that too. Do you know? You can't just be stuck in your box the whole time.
But you also put yourself out there. I'm always trying to advocate founders to be like you, founder led, push yourself forward.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, sometimes I'll have people on, I'm like, okay, cool. It'll be out in like, whatever, it'll be out in 6 weeks and we're going to do all the clips and stuff. Where we tag you? I'm not really that active on social. And you're like,
really?
Oh, you're killing me. You're killing me. And they're like, I don't like it, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, well, geez, you know, where is your, because people will search you out.
Yeah.
You know, like, people want to know more about you behind the brand, especially now. I think, especially younger consumers.
Yeah.
They want to, who's behind
this? They need to believe in stuff. And you know, it's actually so interesting for me as well. I was actually only on a brand trip there. So KLMUA got taken away on a brand trip.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Where did we go?
Texas.
Oh.
It's a whole different world.
Oh, that's a strong yes to that trip.
I know, it was totally crazy. But I got taken over there by a brand called ColorWow. And again, they're a massive, huge, huge, huge brand. But I was so inspired once I heard about the owner, because she started the brand later on in her life. She worked for John Frieda, and she was working again and again, all her knowledge, kind of similar to me working with the other brand before I went out and did it on my own. But she's very much focused on creating the best quality products and not just putting out everything. Like, it's like, okay, well, we could launch loads of products. I know that I could come out with this and launch this, that and the other, but that's not the best that it could be. So I want to come out with something that's the best. And instantly for me hearing that, I was like, oh my God, I love this brand straight away. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I love
hearing. But it spoke to you as a person.
Yeah, it did. It's when you hear the stories behind the brand and why certain products came to be, you attach yourself more to it. You can understand it a little bit more.
Well, you're in their story then.
Yeah.
Whereas if someone's just like, oh yeah, whatever, that's their story. But when you're in the story, oh, I love that because this, and oh, that's my favorite product. Oh, that's how it came about.
There's 100%.
It's emotion, storytelling, business is storytelling.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like that's something I kind of had to open up a little bit more too, because again, when you're kind of in it so much, I actually like to get opinions from other people around me to be like, what would you like to see from this? Because I feel like when you're so in it, I'm like, you want to see that meeting? Really?
Yeah.
You want to know about that?
And you're busy. You're busy too. You're trying to actually run a business. And for you, you're trying to run two businesses.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, hold on. Let me just do a quick
Instagram. Let me just set up my camera.
The shipping's gone where?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Hold on. Let me record my reaction.
Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. And that's the thing though. It's trying to get those key moments.
It's a mindset though, isn't it? It's just trying to like be more flexible with it and not holding on too tight. It's a real balance now though. Mm-hmm. Before we do a quick fire round, what's coming up this year for Cash and you?
Okay, so for Cash, we're hoping to expand into other markets. So hopefully looking at the UK, possibly the US. Obviously still focusing on Ireland. That's our bread and butter. That's the people who really support us and love us. And there's loads of places we still can expand to in Ireland and really improve on and whatnot. But I'd love to do that. So it's trying to kind of figure out what's the best way for us to do that. What platform do we want to launch on, or who do we want to launch with, and kind of figuring out what is the best move for us and what makes sense for Cash as a brand as a whole. That's the big thing that we have coming up. More products, of course. There's never an ever-ending list of amazing products coming your way. But yeah, just really, really excited, I think, to push it as far as we can and see where we can really take it.
Quick fire round.
Go for it.
This is mainly for me. What book should every entrepreneur read?
So I'm actually not a businessy person at all, as in when it comes to business books. So I would actually recommend entrepreneurs to read something that's not a business book. So read your fantasy or read your fiction.
Give me some. Give me your best fantasy books that you love.
Oh, you're not going to like the ones that I like, but A Court of Thorn and Roses, Fourth Wing, for any girlies watching
those.
This.
I see those on Instagram or TikTok actually all the time. Yeah. Oh my God, I can't believe this is so good. I'm like, oh.
This is how I know if I'm going to be best friends with somebody. I just have to say Bat Boys and I know if they will they'll be into me or not. Yeah. So
we'll still be friends.
Yeah. I love reading those things though. Again, they kind of take me out of it because it means that I feel like I'm, when I come back into the world, then I'm kind of refreshed and, you know.
Especially creativity.
Exactly.
Comes from being able to just unplug and go. Okay, you're not going to get like new product idea, but you might get a new, just allow your brain just to
spin switch off for a second.
So give me a couple of recommendations of good books you've really loved.
I love Fourth Wing. Yeah. And then the A Court of Thorns and Roses series.
A Court of Thorn and Roses.
And Throne of Glass. That's a really good one.
Okay.
Again, it's all fantasy fighting.
It's all good. I like a good recommendation. Mm-hmm. What's something you'd learn the hard way?
Probably that you can't do everything. You have to allow other people to come in. I actually realize I'm way more of a people pleaser than what I ever imagined. I always give out to my mom for work because I was like, you're such a people pleaser. And then I realized, oh God, I am too. I would be hiring people and I was like, oh, I'll just do that for you. And I'm like, that's their job. You don't need to be doing that. So I think learning that, to trust people and let them do what they do best so that you can focus and do what you do best. It's been a really big thing.
Yeah, it's like Irish people when you hold the door. Sorry.
Yeah.
What?
And we say,
why did I say sorry about that?
Yeah, and in three different ways as well. Sorry, excuse me, sorry. It's like we can't just say one word. It's like we have to give them the whole dictionary.
Yeah, I've literally tried to stop myself doing that. I'm like, just hold the door and go, there you go.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Enterprise Ireland helps to support and fund a vibrant startup ecosystem, providing supports, insights, and network connections to the most ambitious Irish startups. From expert advice to raising funding, exploring opportunities in international markets, to strategic planning, Enterprise Ireland is here to support you in those important startup moments. For more information about how Enterprise Ireland can support you on your startup journey, visit enterprise-ireland.com. Enterprise Ireland, helping Irish startups go global.
What have you sacrificed to achieve your success?
Mm. I feel like all entrepreneurs probably say the same thing. It's probably personal time and missing out probably on spending some family time and whatnot. That's probably the biggest thing. And obviously, your time, even your evenings, you know, you're spending it working when you work on your phone. What's something you have on you constantly? Your phone. So you have access to your business 24/7. I try to look at it, though, as you know, spending the time where I need to make it sure that I put in time for personal time. And it actually makes me appreciate my family time and personal time a lot more, too. So it's not being able to do everything every weekend, but the time that I do get to spend with family, I make it really worth it then. So although it's a sacrifice, it's also given me a new appreciation for it as well. And I suppose, it's hard to kind of see it as a sacrifice as well when you know that you're building towards something that will hopefully benefit them. I'm like, you won't be given out about it when I buy you a lovely big house someday.
Well, I think it's nice because then you're there, you're there.
Exactly.
I think a lot of people go through life, they're there, but they're not there. They're on their phone or they're thinking about work. I think that's a real, that'll become a superpower as well, I think, in terms of like the new world where it's kind of blending for a lot of people as well. Yeah. Even in jobs, people are now blending, like phones are like awful in terms of your focus and distraction. You're always kind of contactable.
Yeah.
But I think a superpower will be being able to unplug and to be able to be there when you're there, be off when you're off. Someone, I read it and it was a great line. Don't be a simmering six. I was like, that's great. Don't be always like
kind of tipping along.
Don't be a simmering six. Yeah. It's like be a nine or be a zero.
Yeah.
Be totally chilled or be absolutely killing it.
Yeah.
Don't be stuck in that kind of like state of anxiety.
Yeah.
What would you do today if I give you 10 million euro?
Oh, okay. Is this businessy or nicety?
Anything at all.
Well, of course.
Give us some fun answers.
Of course.
Anything
you're
going
to donate to charity.
Oh,
of course you're going to.
Yeah,
but
the
I think
first thing you're going
to
do.
Yeah, I'd definitely buy my mom a house. That would be a really big thing I'd love to do then, obviously, as well. And then I think I'd have to maybe go on a nice big holiday.
Where?
I'd love to do a safari. That's like, I think, one of my biggest dreams. One of my biggest dreams is actually going to ride Western, which I've done in Texas there.
Going to what?
Ride Western, like horses, Western.
Okay.
So I got to do that. That was one of my big things. But another one of my big five is a safari. I would love to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, of course, the rest of the money I'd have to invest into cash, wouldn't I?
Of course. But you got, like, I always find it sad when people are like, oh, I just put it all in the business. I'm like,
what are you living for?
What are you living for? Have a bit of crack.
Yeah. What are you living for?
Can't be like a crack vacuum.
What are you working so hard for?
Exactly. Few weeks, business isn't going to make it or break in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you 1 million euro. You can invest it in one other person or one other business.
Okay.
Who would you invest that 1 million euro in?
Let me see. I actually think I'm going to invest it in this person. I've worked with her already, done a collaboration with her with my own brand, because I think she's probably one of the hardest working people that I know. And I know that anything she'll put her mind to, she'll make it work and she'll create something really special from it. Charlene Murphy.
Oh.
She's incredible.
Yeah,
okay. She's like a content creator machine, a really lovely person, so hardworking. And again, I feel like anything that she wants to put her mind to, she will make it amazing and make it really big. So she'd be an incredible person that I'd only be delighted to invest in.
Okay, Charlene, the check's in the post.
Yeah.
Let's tag her on TikTok, get some views.
She's looking for a million.
If you were starting from zero in 2025,
yeah,
brand new, what would you build?
Cash. Yeah, I'd do this 100%. I'd do it all again. I love it. And that's it.
What do you believe other people will find weird or strongly disagree with you on?
Okay, I don't know if this is an unpopular opinion or not, but I just know, especially in the creative industry, you're going to probably end up doing some work that there's not a like financial transaction involved, firstly. I know whenever I first started, I was working with so many different people for free or just showing up because I just wanted to get my name out there almost. It's like finding the balance between obviously making sure that you're not being taken advantage of, but also realizing, okay, if I do work with this person or I get in with this person, that this could lead to that. That's happened to me so many times in my life. And it really is about who you know and the reputation you kind of build for yourself.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I would say probably on that.
I agree with you. The creative industry is a little bit of exploitative. People ask you to do stuff for free. People ask me to host events for them for free.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
It's about finding the balance, though.
Yeah.
That 100%, because like I said, that brand I was working with, Morphe, they never would have seen me if I was not posting stuff.
Precisely.
Because it was organic.
You got to make sure there's a value exchange.
100%.
I always put it through a couple of different prisms.
Yeah.
Are they really sound people?
Yeah.
Is this the first time we've ever interacted?
Yeah.
I had someone reach out and go, oh, will you host this awards show as a favor? It's like, not you connect to me on LinkedIn this morning.
Yeah.
We don't know each other. Yeah. And they had sponsors and they were charging people to attend. I was like, look, I have a couple of things. If you're charging people to attend and you're charging sponsors to pay for it, I kind of have a thing. You have to pay people who are working there, in fairness. But I believe that as well. Like, and I've done in the past where you'll work with brands to go, there's a value exchange here. They're going to give me exposure and access and a leg up the ladder in terms of like, well, I'm getting to interview that person.
Yeah.
Okay.
That could lead to this. And I'm getting more experience by doing this. I think you can't put a value on experience when you need it.
When you're at the start.
Yeah, when you're starting out, 100%. There's stuff that you need to get stuck into and just do because it's going to make you better.
Yeah. And visibility. You're seen to be a doer as well.
100%.
What's been your worst investment?
Probably my time management. Yeah, my time management. Spending time doing things that I shouldn't be doing. Or, you know, not on the things that I really should. I feel like that happens in business. Sometimes you get really sucked into the nitty gritty little things and you're like, wait, why am I doing this? I should be focusing on the bigger thing, the creating the makeup, not looking at the social media posts that are going out. Or how many stories did we post today? I should be worried. I should be, what makeup am I going to come out with next? So yeah, my time management and just making sure that I'm spending it on the things that's my superpower. And that I can get the best out of the brand for that. Because that's, again, essentially you're hurting the brand. You think you're doing good by the brand for getting stuck into all these little things, but you're actually not. You're actually getting in the road. You need to move. Go do what you're supposed to be doing.
You're actually standing behind, pulling it backwards instead of 100%. Actually at the front lead, pulling it along.
Yeah.
What's been your best investment?
Again, it would be cash then. It would be investing my money and my time and all my expertise into that. I really do feel like everything I've done along the way has built me to this moment. Everything I've learned from being a makeup artist to then marketing online and how to, you know, post my videos and content and whatnot and how to sell products. I feel like it's all kind of led me to this moment to hopefully build something really special, to create products that make people feel beautiful, feel confident, that makes their everyday a little bit easier, or, you know, brings a smile to their face if it's a product they love. Like, that's all I could ask for, honestly.
What's your final piece of advice to every aspiring or current founder listening?
Just do it. Literally, just get started. You don't have to know everything. You learn as you go. Just get stuck in. If you have something that you really love, you're really passionate about, you're willing to put in the hard work, that's a really big thing. It's going to be a lot harder than what you even expected. I obviously knew starting my own brand was going to be a lot of hard work, but it was harder in ways I never even imagined. So I think it's know that it's something you really love, you're really passionate about, and don't let anyone stop you. It's a really big thing. Don't let anyone. I was actually told whenever I was first starting makeup, they were like, how are you going to make a life for yourself doing this? I didn't know what I was going to do, but I just knew I was going to make it happen.
Savage advice. Mm-hmm. What a way to wrap it up.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. That was just lovely. Where can people learn more about yourself and Cash?
So you can follow my makeup brand, Cash Beauty. That's Cash with a K. Yeah. And then you can follow myself, Kaylee Amuwe, across TikTok, Instagram, all the platforms there possibly is. You can find me all over there.
Spell Kaylee for people because people won't probably spell it correctly.
They won't get it. It's K-E-I-L-I-D-H and then M-U-A.
Love it. Kaylee, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.